Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, we're back, and on the line is Odyssey NBA insider Ryan McDonough. Insider calls are brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. He joins us now. Let's make him the giant interview.
Now, it's the giant interview, presented by A-Team Roofing. Online at ateamroofers.com. The A-Team Roofing Giant Interview on 92.9's Jason and John Show.
Ryan, appreciate you joining us. Last time we talked, it felt like a much different series. I was asking you, heck, if Chris Paul was going to be Finals MVP. We're in a different place now with the Bucks up 3-2. If Phoenix is to force a Game 7 on Thursday, how does it happen, Ryan?
You're right, Jason. This series has really flipped over the last week or so. It's great to be on with you.
Pleasure.
As always. And, yeah, I think Chris Paul needs to play better, especially on the defensive end. When I watched the game on Saturday night, I did not think Paul or DeAndre Ayton played particularly well. You look at the box score, they put up good numbers. Paul had 21 points and 11 assists. Ayton had 20 points and 10 rebounds. But I didn't think those guys had enough of an impact, especially Paul on the defensive end of the court, Jason. I feel like the Milwaukee Bucks are really targeting him, especially when he gets matched up on Chris Middleton. And he was great. It's a little bit head-scratching, and it makes me wonder if there's something more going on with Chris Paul's health, because he was terrific in Game 6 against the L.A. Clippers in the Western Conference Finals. When the Suns closed that out, he was fantastic in Game 1 of this series. And for whatever reason, he's been on a little bit of a downward slide. He hasn't had the impact on the games, especially on the defensive end. I mean, you look at it this way. Phoenix scored 119 points at home in a finals game. Jason, their field goal percentages were 55% from the floor, 68% from three, and 91% from the line, and they lost the game.
I'm with you. Something hadn't been right with Chris Paul. Is he capable at this point of his career? And I'm with you. I'm wondering if he's fully healthy, but can he turn it up defensively to a point against a Bucks team too that you got to factor in, Ryan? That's 9-1 at home. Is there a next level for Chris Paul there? How likely is that he can turn up defensively?
That's the challenge and the million-dollar question. And the dangerous thing for the Phoenix Suns now is Game 5 was the first one that all three of Milwaukee stars, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Chris Middleton, Andrew Holiday, played well. Right. So if Middleton and Holiday in particular have it rolling, there's nowhere to hide Paul defensively. He has to guard one of those guys. I mean, Phoenix has tried to move him around. Monty Williams has put him on P.J. Tucker, which, you know, makes some sense strategically. But then the challenge there, Jason, this has been one of the differentiating factors in the series, is Milwaukee has pounded the offensive boards. Right. If you look at the number of shot attempts they've gotten, they have a significant advantage over Phoenix there. So even when they shoot poor percentages, they didn't shoot great percentages, I think it was in Game 4 in Milwaukee, they get so many more shots because they've committed fewer turnovers than the Suns in those games, and they've gotten so many more shot attempts that over time the math seems to be in their favor, especially if when they miss, guys like P.J. Tucker and Pat Connaughton are able to get on the offensive glass. Yep. And get Milwaukee second shot opportunities. So I think Paul and the entire Suns team, led by Paul on the perimeter, has to be really solid defensively. Jason, they also have to box out and try to hold their man off the glass when the ball goes up in the air so Milwaukee doesn't keep shooting until they eventually make a basket.
Where would this rank if Giannis does this, and I think he's right around 32 for the series. Ryan, if he does this and, you know, he's coming out, you've won two MVPs, a Defensive Player of the Year, you get a championship at the age of 26, how high do you put him up on a list of accomplished stars, Ryan, in terms of Giannis and how consistent he's been, and even doing it through injury, too? You got to factor that into these playoffs.
Yeah, he's clearly headed to the Hall of Fame someday, Jason. He has a chance to cement himself as one of the all-time greats. And I think if he is able to close it out, if Milwaukee wins one of the next two games, this will just be the start of his legacy. I don't see any reason the Bucks can't continue to contend for championships, given the age of their stars and given that Giannis, Middleton, and Holiday, their big three, those guys are under contract for a long time with the recent extensions, especially the ones this past offseason to Giannis and then in-season with Drew Holiday. So everything is aligning in the Bucks' favor. I'll admit it. I wasn't sure that a team could win a championship with its best player struggling to make shots over the top of the defense from the perimeter in today's, you know, pace and space, analytic-heavy NBA where a lot of threes are attempted, Jason. But Giannis has shown that he's the most dominant player we've had in the league in the paint since Shaq. And really, it doesn't matter if you don't make that many shots away from the basket. If teams can't stop you from getting into the restricted area and scoring at or around the rim, then your jumper is secondary, and he's shown that he's that good and that dominant. Even when teams try to wall off the paint and form a wall like Phoenix has done, Giannis is still able to get there and dominate the game in different ways.
How big a part of this has been Drew Holiday? I love the pickup when they made it and talked about what he can do defensively. When you're getting 27 and 13 out of him in a crucial game five, it just seems like it helps put you over the top. Drew Holiday and sort of what he's been able to do in this final series.
Yeah, and I give Drew Holiday a lot of credit because it's easy to forget at this point. He really struggled, you know, throughout the playoffs at times offensively. His defense has always been pretty consistent, but offensively he struggled even earlier in this series. And you remember some of these guys on Twitter had stats flashing up his shooting numbers and percentages comparing them with Eric Bledsoe's. Yep. And, you know, frankly, a couple weeks ago, Jason, they didn't look all that different with Holiday's shooting struggles. So I give him a ton of credit for how he self-corrected. As you know, a lot of times with players, that doesn't happen until the offseason. He's done it in season and in the middle of series at the highest level here in the NBA playoffs and now in the finals. So he was fantastic in game five. And one thing I don't think enough people are talking about is just the cojones that it takes to make the plays he made down the stretch.
Yes.
Jason, keep in mind the situation. I mean, Phoenix, they'd had a terrific comeback in the fourth quarter. They have the ball with one of the best offensive players in the league with a live dribble in the last 15 or 20 seconds of the game. And Drew Holiday, who with Phoenix in the penalty, if he fouls, puts a 90-plus percent free throw shooter in Booker at the line. Not only does he steal the ball, not only does he come up with it and push it the other way, but he has the courage to throw a lob to Giannis, who's obviously a great lob target. But, Jason, if that pass goes out of bounds or if it's off target, Phoenix is now coming back the other way, maybe in an odd man rush with a chance to win the game and put themselves up 3-2. So I give Holiday a lot of credit. He played well throughout the game. But those plays at the end of the game, I don't think many guys would have made those because they took some courage to make them. And to his credit, he came up huge on both ends of the floor.
He absolutely did. Love what he's been for them and love him having that game in that moment. How open, Ryan, is Phoenix's window? Does this go away I expect Chris Paul to be back in some form. I'd ask you about that. Sounds like you do too, but you know the West is going to be better next year. You know teams like Golden State will be back and healthier and have Klay Thompson back. Can they be right back next year with a 37-year-old Paul? Like, is there a limit to this window? How has Phoenix arrived to the point that you can expect to see them in a top three seed, next 3-4 years? What do you think in terms of where they're at?
I think Phoenix should be a very good team for a long time, given that three of their best four players are between 22 and 24 years old, DeAndre Ayton, Devin Booker, and Mikal Bridges. But, yeah, Chris Paul is the wild card. That's the limiting factor, Jason, or the factor that puts him over the top. How long can Chris continue to play at a high level? He hasn't played as well as the playoffs have gone on. How long is he the point guard? How long is he, if not dominant, a very good point guard? It's going to be expensive, especially if he opts out of his deal and wants a multi-year contract. Keep in mind that Bridges and Ayton are eligible for contract extensions this offseason as well.
Right.
So that's the challenge, Jason, as you know. You talk about windows, and Phoenix's window should be open for a while, especially with Booker, Ayton, and Bridges kind of anchoring the team. But in the Western Conference, there are no guarantees. The two LA teams, if they get healthy, will be better. You mentioned Golden State. they should be significantly better. And then the young up-and-coming teams, including the one in your backyard, like the Grizzlies, like the Pelicans. So, you know, that's what's so tough when you get to this level. We talked about it all the time when I was in the Celtics front office, and we seemed to go to the conference finals or NBA finals every other year and ended up playing the Lakers. It's such a fine line between winning and losing, and it's so fragile, Jason. That's why both teams, I think, especially in Phoenix's case, coming out of the Western Conference, it's important to try to seize this opportunity because there are no guarantees that opportunity will be there going forward.
If you are in that Memphis Grizzlies front office, you mentioned that, I'm glad you did, looking ahead to next week's draft, and you've got the 17 pick, how attractive, I guess, are you looking at those Golden State slots? You know, they've got 7-14, and we know they want to win right now. I just wonder, the idea that maybe you'd slide them a vet and maybe a pick to try to get one of those picks, that looks attractive to me. What do you think the Grizzlies end up doing? Do you think they're active and maybe try to move up and do it maybe with a Golden State team that could use something right now? Maybe you slide them a Kyle Anderson. What do you think the Grizzlies do if you're at 17? Got a lot of options at that point.
Yeah, they do, and it's funny you should bring that up because I did an Odyssey mock draft with Brian Scalabrine and others in conjunction with Locked On and Chad Ford and some other draft experts were on it, and that was actually one of the trades they came up with, Jason, as they mocked out the draft. I think it was some combination of Kyle Anderson and the 17th pick, 4-7, to Golden State. So I think a lot of smart people are thinking the way you're thinking. Would Memphis continue to be patient? I think they should be patient because I've always thought, Jason, you build around your best players, and Memphis's best players are young. You know, they want to take a next step, especially after getting that taste of making the playoffs and having some initial success in the series against Utah. But Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., these guys are young. So I think if you can bring in another young stud, and as I look at this draft, I do think there's a drop-off around that mid-lottery range. I think that's something that, that Memphis should look at. Can they get up and get a Scotty Barnes or somebody like that? Davion Mitchell, I think, would be terrific at the two in the backcourt next to Ja Morant. So I think the Grizz should be active, but it's easier said than done because, as you know, so much of our league or pro sports in general is about the trend line, and Memphis, I'm sure, wants to stay as a playoff team. It's easier, I think, in theory sometimes than in practice to trade a veteran player away when it means your team may take a step back in the short term, even if that is the prudent long-term move.
I think our man Gary Parrish, obviously a national columnist over at CBS Sports, has got, if the Grizzlies stayed put at 17, has Chris Duarte there out of Oregon. What do you think about Duarte as a prospect, a guy who could knock down the three and play some defense for you potentially? What do you think about him?
Yeah, Memphis has had success with those kind of proven college players, a little bit older, one at a high level. Obviously just a year ago, what they did with Desmond Bane, who really had a nice rookie year, with his strength and with his defensive ability and ability to make spot up threes. And I think that's really important for Memphis to continue to surround Ja Morant with shooting. You and I have talked about how we think he's going to be a terrific player, and if he can expand his game, or the way he can expand his game the quickest is adding a three-point shot, but continue to get shooting around him, continue to get experience, and I think that is a smart move if they stay in that range. If they don't move up, if you move up into the mid-lottery, you probably want a guy with a little more upside who could potentially be a star, but again, they've drafted very well with their later picks, with guys like Baines, Xavier Tillman, and others, I think he'd be a nice fit in a Grizzlies uniform, and another rookie, but a rookie you can plug in and potentially get some rotational minutes right away for Memphis.
And then we know, the draft, obviously you're looking to add something good and maybe something that you can develop for a while, because I'm with you that I don't think it's the Grizzlies' time to start planning for top four seeds, so you've got some time, but we realize too that a priority this offseason is Jaren Jackson and his development and getting not just getting healthy, but developing him. Ryan, if you're in that front office, how much, you can speak to this, how much are you checking in on that progress? You're going to hear it from folks, obviously, that Jaren's focused and doing his work, but how much are you personally checking in with him during the offseason to try to make sure he gets to those, right, meets those goals?
Yeah, a lot. And if I'm in the Memphis front office, I'm encouraging Jaren to be around the facility and working with the coaches and training staff as much as possible in the offseason. That's something we did when I was GM of the Phoenix Suns with Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton and Mikal Bridges and some of the guys who have gone on to play pretty well elsewhere, T.J. Warren and Bogdan Bogdanovic. So anytime you get a young player like that, Jason, you want to get your hands on him and be around him as much as possible, and have him work on what he's going to work on in the games. I think Jaren, in terms of the priorities, obviously first and foremost, most of his health. He needs to get healthy and stay healthy. And then the rebounding, I think, will be the next step for him. I love his ability to make a shot. I love his ability to block shots, but he needs to become a better rebounder, which he should with his size and length and athleticism. But it's a big offseason for Jaren, and it's a big offseason for the Grizzlies front office relative to Jaren, because keep in mind, he was in the 2018 draft class. He's approaching the last year of his rookie skill deal, Jason, which, as you know, means he'll be extension eligible. So I'll be very interested to see if that happens or not with Jaren. And frankly, I think a lot of that will be the offseason, based on the offseason work Jaren puts in and how healthy the Grizzlies front office thinks he is, not only now, but how healthy they think he'll be over the next 3 to 5 years.
Ryan, it's always a pleasure, always a blessing to the show, getting to pick your brain, man. Really appreciate your time today, sir.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks, Jason. Always great to be on with you guys.
Pleasure. That was Odyssey NBA Insider Ryan McDonough. Insider calls are brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. We know life is busy, so come to Shell to fill up, save up, and snack up to make the most of the stop you need to make.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.